By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to our early morning program, Rise and Shine. We're in our Bradford studios again today. As you know, on Rise and Shine, we begin by giving you a blessing and reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Today's blessing is as such, that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, is reported to have said, that the people do not sit in a gathering in which they neither remember Allah, nor send salat upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, except that it will be a cause of regret for them on the day of judgment. Thus, if Allah Azza wa Jalla wills, He will punish them, and if He wills, He will forgive them. Allah Akbar. A lot of wisdom in that particular blessing of Durood-e Pak, basically saying to us that if there is a gathering, if you're in a gathering, and in that gathering, you do not remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, you do not send salat upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that gathering is going to be of no benefit to you. So whenever you're in a gathering, wherever you are, whatever part of life you are, whatever function is in your life, make sure you remember your Rabb and you send salat upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We give you these intentions, we give you these blessings so that you become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak. You become aware of the blessings and hopefully it encourages you to make small changes in your life. And every day when we give you a blessing, sometimes we give you a number, sometimes we give you that do it this many times. It doesn't take long, viewers of my channel. It doesn't take long. Please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and pass these blessings on to others. Make other people aware of the fact that if you do recite Durood-e Pak, these are the blessings. If you do not recite Durood-e Pak, this is the loss that you may incur. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, through your advice on other people, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we pray that that time comes that every Muslim around the world will be habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madani Channel, as you know, when you watch Arise and Shine, the first segment that we have, what is the first segment we have? It's probably the best segment that we could possibly have. And that is the segment in which we get the opportunity, the blessing, in fact, the blessing to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran with the translation from Kanzul Iman. Let's go and listen to some verses of the Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
طه ما انزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى.
اے محبوب, ہم نے تم پر یہ قرآن اس لیے نہ اتارا کہ تم مشقت میں پڑھو.
الا تذكرة لمن يخشى.
ہاں, اس کو نصیحت جو ڈر رکھتا ہو.
تنزیلا ممن خلق الارض والسماوات العلا.
اس کا اتارا ہوا جس نے زمین اور اونچے آسمان بنائے.
الرحمن علی العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الارض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى.
وہ بڑی مہر یعنی رحمت والا, اس نے عرش پر استوا فرمایا جیسا اس کی شان کے لائق ہے. اس کا ہے جو کچھ آسمانوں میں ہے اور جو کچھ زمین میں اور جو کچھ ان کے بیچ میں اور جو کچھ اس گیلی مٹی کے نیچے ہے.
وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى.
اور اگر تو بات پکار کر کہے تو وہ تو بھید کو جانتا ہے اور اسے جو اس سے بھی زیادہ چھپا ہے.
اللہ لا الہ الا ہو لہ الاسماء الحسنى.
اللہ کہ اس کے سوا کسی کی بندگی نہیں, اسی کے ہیں سب اچھے نام.
وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى,
اور کچھ تمہیں موسیٰ کی خبر آئی؟
اِذْ رَآ نَارًا فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا لَعَلِّي آتِيكُمْ منها بقبس او اجد على النار هدى.
جب اس نے ایک آگ دیکھی تو اپنی بیوی سے کہا, ٹھہرو, مجھے ایک آگ نظر پڑی ہے, شاید میں تمہارے لیے اس میں سے کوئی چنگاری لاؤں یا آگ پر راستہ پاؤں.
فلما اتاها نودی یا موسیٰ فاخلع نعليك انك بالوادي المقدس طوى.
پھر جب آگ کے پاس آیا, ندا فرمائی گئی کہ اے موسیٰ, بے شک میں تیرا رب ہوں, تو اپنے جوتے اتار ڈال, بے شک تو پاک جنگل طوا میں ہے.
وانا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى,
اور میں نے تجھے پسند کیا, اب کان لگا کر سن جو تجھے وحی ہوتی ہے.
اننی انا اللہ لا الہ الا انا فاعبدنی واقم الصلاۃ لذکری,
بے شک میں ہی ہوں اللہ کہ میرے سوا کوئی معبود نہیں, تو میری بندگی کر اور میری یاد کے لیے نماز قائم رکھ.
ان الساعة آتية اكاد اخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى,
بے شک قیامت آنے والی ہے, قریب تھا کہ میں اسے سب سے چھپاؤں کہ ہر جان اپنی کوشش کا بدلہ پائے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Inshallah, viewers of my channel, we had the blessing there to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran, but in that verses we also hear about the day of judgment and the punishment that we could face. And these verses are there for us to make us aware that, you know, if we do not rectify ourselves whilst we have an opportunity, then these are the sort of calamities that we are going to face. And so as Muslims, we should always be pondering about the hereafter, pondering about what's going to happen to us. And not just pondering about what's going to happen to us today, what's going to happen to us tomorrow, where I'm going to make the next £100, the next £1,000, where my next house is, where my next holiday is, what my next car is going to be. We need to be pondering about the hereafter. Because that hereafter could come before you buy that new car. The hereafter could come before you buy that new house, before you make that next £1,000. That hereafter, that dark and lonely grave could come today. So we should always be pondering about that, reflecting on that, thinking about that, and ultimately preparing ourselves for that ultimate time that will inevitably come. There is no guarantees that you will have that car, that you will have that house, that you will earn that money, you will get that job, you will get that promotion. There is no guarantees in life. There is only one, and that is that one day, and we don't know what day that is, the angel of death will visit you. And soon after that, you will be in that dark and lonely grave. So viewers and mothers, please ponder over that and think about that. Unfortunately, those people that think about death on a daily basis, so reflect on their actions, rectify their actions, change their ways, correct themselves. Viewers and mother channel, I've not introduced the topic yet. Coming back to the topic of the day, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program. Viewers and mother channel, the blessed wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were granted a unique title. The title that they were granted was Ummatul Mu'minin, i.e. the mothers of the believers. And due to having this honor, being married to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the honor that was given to them when they were married to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran, and his wives are their mothers. Allahu Akbar. Imam Ibn Abi Hatim rahmatullahi ta'ala has narrated the following statement from Sayyidina Qatada radiyallahu ta'ala, that the blessed wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the mothers of the believers in terms of the respect, and they are haram upon the believers just like your own mothers. Allama Zurqani, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, states that all of the blessed wives of the noble Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam, i.e. all of those whom the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam married, regardless of whether they passed away before the physical passing of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam or after the physical departure, all of them are the mothers of the Ummah. And they are more deserving, listen to this views of the child, and they are more deserving of respect than the biological mother of every believer. And honoring them is necessary. Viewers of the channel, I pray that we have this in us to respect all of the wives of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam. And with regards to the mothers of the believers, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam, he married Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha first. And he did not marry any other woman for as long as she was alive. And inshallah, so today we're going to learn a little bit about Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, the sacrifices that she made, the love that she had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll learn a little bit about her life. And as Muslims, we need to learn about these personalities, about these great people of the past. They are our ideal role models. As Muslims, we have this rich heritage, we have this great heritage, but unfortunately what happens is we don't take this heritage as our role models. You can sit with Muslims today, ask them, what do you know about Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala? Maybe people will know that she was the first wife. Or maybe people will know, oh, she was somebody at the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they will not know anything about her. How sad is this? And inshallah, we'll learn today the great love that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for her. Even after she departed from this world, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed great affection and love to her and anything that was associated to her. Her friends, her relatives, whoever they were, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed great respect to them. But who is this person? Do we know about them? And in the same way, do we know about the great companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Let alone the great companions, do we know about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I think it's sad, viewers of Manchal, that we claim to be Muslims and yet we know very little about our deen. We know very little about the final message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life, his family, his wives, his children, his trials, his tribulations, his sacrifices that he made, his companions, the people that came after him, the pious predecessors that came after them. Who are these people? As Muslims, we should know about these people, views of Islam. Inshallah, we're going to take a small break now. And then when we come back, we're going to give you an introduction, a very brief introduction into the life of Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu anha. And then we'll go on to some incidents in her life that inshallah will show the great status that she has. And I hope that we can learn something from this. When you hear, before we go to the clan, views of Islam, when you hear about events that took place, I've mentioned this before. When you hear about events that took place, learn something from it. They're not just stories, you know. In Islam, stories are not just passed down because they're good stories. They're passed down through generation and generation and generation so that we can learn something. So whenever you hear about the events of the past, do not just think to yourself, it's a story from 1400 years ago. Relate to it. Because that story has been passed down for a reason. Relate to that event. Understand the madani pearls that we can achieve from that so that we can make a change in our life. We're now going to go to the break of the day, inshallah. We're going to go to the kalam of the day. And when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد الكونين وثق عليه محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم هو الحبيب الذي
يرجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العمام مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن علي وعن عثمان ذي الكرم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي جمعا طالبنا منك مغفرة يا ربي جمعا طالبنا منك مغفرة وحسن خاتمة يا مبدي النعم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها سألتك الخير يا ذا الجود والكرم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب
ربك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما شاء الله beautiful كلام ده. Allahu Akbar. Again, you know, when you're listening to these kalams, you feel like, you know, just closing your eyes and relaxing. And maybe if they continue now, I might have fallen asleep here in the studio. So it's probably finished at a good time. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine in the early morning program. And before the break, we mentioned that inshallah azawajal, today we're going to talk about Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, the blessed wife of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like I said before, we know very, very little about her. So before we go on to some of the events that took place in her life, I'm going to give you a very, very brief introduction to her. Just some pinpoints with regards to her life so that you can understand who she is, what her status is. As I've already mentioned, her name is Khadija. Khadija, and her father's name was Khawlid and her mother's name was Fatima. The kunya of Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala is Umm al-Qasim and Umm Hind. She was born 15 years before the year of the elephant. The year of the elephant is the incident that took place and it's mentioned in the Quran, the Surah Al-Fil. Her titles are Tahira, Sayyida, Sadiqa, and Kubra. Now the final title, Kubra, is mentioned so often that many, many people will actually think it's part of her name. They'll say, Sayyidina Khadija al-Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala. It is a title, it's not actually her name. It is a title that she was given. And she was the first person to accept Islam from amongst the women. Her lineage joins with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam via three links. Via just three links, she comes back to the lineage of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was born from the most noble of the tribes of the Arabs, the Quraysh. She is the mother of the Queen of Paradise, Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra. She is the mother. We hear so much. We hear about Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, but she is the mother, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. She is the mother of this blessed person. And she is the grandmother, Allahu Akbar. She is the grandmother of the leaders of the youth of paradise, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And she sacrificed views of the channel. She was a wealthy person. She was a business person. She had businesses to run. She sacrificed all her wealth at the feet of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. And she spent her entire life serving the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The blessed nikah, which inshallah we'll hear a little bit about later on, took place 2 months and 25 days after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned from his journey to Syria. And she was 40 years of age at the time of her marriage to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was only 25 years old at that time. Now, that in itself, views of the child, you know, we have this cultural thing that the wife can never be older than the husband. Oh, even if it's 5 days older, 10 days older, 20 days older, oh no. Here we see that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's first wife, she was 15 years older than the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And during the time while she was alive, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mind anybody else during that time. And she remained the life partner of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for approximately 25 years. And she passed away in the 10th year after the announcement of prophethood in the month of Ramadan. And the age that which she passed away, she was 65, and she was buried. She is resting in the blessing place of Jannat al-Mala in Makkah Sharif. Now, we mentioned earlier on that she was the first person to accept, the first woman to accept Islam. But how did all that happen? I want to basically let you know the events that took place at that time. Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyiduna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she states that the revelations that came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started with righteous dreams. Whatever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see in his dreams would come to pass just like the light of the dawn. And then he would prefer to remain in solitude. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to visit the cave of Hira. And he would worship there and he would remain there for many nights before returning home. He would take a certain amount of food with him and water with him that was sufficient at the time that was there. And he would stay there. And when he would return, Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala would prefer more food like this until the truth came to him. While he was in the cave of Hira, the angel came to him and said, recite. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm not a reciter. He, the angel, squeezed me tightly and then said, recite. And I replied, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that I am not a reciter. The angel then squeezed the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tightly again and then released him and said, recite. And again, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that I am not a reciter. And then the angel squeezed the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tightly again and then released him and said the first words that were revealed with regards to the Holy Quran. And these first words that were revealed are recorded in Surah Al-Alaq, verses 1 to 5. And I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. The angel said to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, read with the name of your Lord, who created everything. He created man from a blood clot. Read, and only your Lord is the most generous. The one who taught to write with the pen, the one who taught men what he knew not. Allahu Akbar. These were the first verses that were revealed by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after receiving this revelation, viewers of Manchallah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned in such a state that his blessed heart was in shock. He came to his blessed wife Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha, and he said to her, cover me. So she covered him with a shawl, and the state of fear left his heart. He then related the entire event, what had ever happened to him, related the event to Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha. And then she said, I fear for my life. Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha said, this will never happen. By Allah, Allah will never dishonor you, for you maintain ties of kinship. You relieve the weak of the burden. You help the needy. You serve your guests, and you face hardship on the path of truth. After this, Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha, she took the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Warqa bin Nawfal, who was Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha's paternal first cousin. And he would write in the Hebrew language. And he wrote the Injil in Hebrew as much as Allah Azza wa Jal willed. And at that time he was old and had lost his eyesight. Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha said to him, Oh my cousin, listen to the account of your nephew. Warqa bin Nawfal said, Oh nephew, what did you see? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated everything that had happened to him. Upon this, Warqa said to him, This is the same angel that Allah Azza wa Jal sent to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. If only I was young, he said, if only I remain alive until that time when your people will drive you out. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, Will my people drive me out? And he replied, Yes. Whenever a person brought that which you have brought, he was shown animosity. If I live to that time, I will support you strongly. Allahu Akbar. And this is narrated, viewers of the channel, in Sahih Bukhari, volume 1, hadith number 3. Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, he states that the meaning is that the command of the Torah, you are the final prophet due to these signs. Your son will rise high and your religion will dominate. It should be known that Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha was a scholar of Torah, and she had also heard about the signs of the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the scholars of Bani Israel, and that is why she married him. Viewers of the channel, we need to, again, when we hear these events, we need to learn something from this. We learn from this particular event that's related that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would worship Allah azza wa jalla abundantly, even after his marriage. The cave of Hira had the honor of being the place where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam worshipped on numerous occasions. And Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha was a wife. She was a wife who would not become an obstacle in the acts of the worship of her husband, the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go up to the cave for many days. She would provide the food and the water. He would take it there and he would worship there. He would contemplate. And she supported that. She would always be at the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's side during any difficulty and any ease. Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha had great love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also had great love for Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha. And she would mention the blessed qualities of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an excellent manner. You can see from that, from the event that took place, she would mention that nothing will happen to you. You are the person that would serve the poor. You are the person that would relieve people's pains. You're the person that would visit the sick. You're the person that never breaks ties, maintains the ties. And she was also She would also increase the determination of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she would reassure him. She was there to support him. At every step, she supported him in whichever way she could. And she was also a great scholar of the Torah. And through her tremendous insight, viewers of the channel, she recognized that the noble Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a prophet even before the announcement of his prophet, because that is the reason why she married him, because she saw the signs in him. And she was the first to receive the news of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being a prophet. In short, she was blessed with many, many merits. Allahu Akbar. In that narration, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sensing fear in his noble heart when the first revelation descended. Why did this happen? And what was the wisdom behind this? I just want to explain this, viewers of Mishan, because we don't want any shaitanic whispers in our mind thinking, oh, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Talasra writes the following. He said, this trembling of the heart was an effect of the divine blessings which was granted on that day, i.e., the day when the first revelation descended. If this manifestation was directed towards a mountain, he goes on to say, if this manifestation, this feeling was directed towards a mountain, it would crumble. But such was the strength of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart that he was able to endure it. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mashallah, we're going to take a small break though. From the event that took place, we can see that this was the first revelation that came, and the great moral support that she had, that Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She reassured him. She supported him. Allahu Akbar. Again, a lesson to learn for all of us. Do we support our partners? Obviously when they're doing good, not when they're doing bad. Do we support them? Do we encourage them? You know, the sisters that are out there, do we encourage our husbands to go to the weekly ijtima? Do we encourage and support them when they decide to travel on the weekly kafa? I've heard many, many stories where people, they wish to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but people will not support them, the family will not support them, the family will not allow them. Allahu Akbar. How unfortunate are them people. Fortunate are those people that when the husbands wish to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, wish to go and acquire the knowledge of the deen, wish to go and pass on this message of the deen, wish to go and pass on the mission statement of Dawah Islam, that I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world, then the family holds them back. The family stops them from going. The family get annoyed if they go there. And so even if he does go there, he's going with a heavy heart because he knows the family that are leaving behind are not happy with his actions. We should support them in this noble cause, so that if any of our people go and ask them and say to your husband that when you're going on this kafla, when you're going to the ijtima, do dua for me. Allahu Akbar. Do dua for my family. Do dua for my family that has passed away. Because those that are traveling in the way of Allah, they are the ones that are being rewarded. Those that attend the weekly ijtima, we are told that duas are accepted with those people that attend the weekly ijtima. Duas are accepted with those people that travel in the way of Allah. So don't remove this golden opportunity from your husbands. Don't remove this golden opportunity from your sons and brothers. Encourage them. Support them and encourage them to travel in the way of Allah. Encourage them and support them to go to the weekly ijtima so that they can benefit and you can also benefit. Insha'Allah, by doing this, you will see a change in them, a positive change in them. I remember someone once, the father said to them, that you know, since you got involved with Dawat Islami, everybody's saying that you changed. The father said to the son, everybody's saying that you changed. And the son said to the father, father, is it a positive change or a negative change? Are people speaking good about me now or bad about me? And the father smiled and said, beta, yes. They're talking positive about you. So he said to his father, is this not a good change then? Is this not a good change then? And the father said, yes, this without doubt is a good change. So let's make a change, viewers of the channel. Make an intention to attend the weekly ijtimaas. Make an intention to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We're now going to go to a break of the day. We're going to go to the reminder, inshallah. And then we're going to talk a little bit more. And then we'll go to another package. And then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we've got a special guest for us. Inshallah, that's going to be coming all the way from South Africa. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla. Inshallah, we'll get him online. But in the meantime, let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
On the day of Qiyamah, very difficult situation. And as people who followed Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam during our lives in this world, we would love to know, is there anything that will happen to us? Is there anything that will make the day of Qiyamah easy for us? A mother will be running away from her children. Father will be running away from sons, and sons will be running away from the father. Nafsi, nafsi type of a situation. What will be the situation of the ummah on that particular day? Human beings will be drowning in their own sweats as per their deeds and amals and actions. What will be the success of Muslims? What will be the success of Ashiqani Rasul and the devotees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that particular day? My dear respected Madani channel viewers, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has beautifully mentioned that person who has sent most salawat and durood and salam upon me during his life in this world will be the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the ability to gain the companionship of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program. Before the break, we were mentioning the event that took place when the first revelation came to the final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And in that event, we see the support that the mother of the believers, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And we also see the encouragement that she had. And we mentioned the fact that as Muslims, we should also encourage our fellow Muslims whenever they wish to do some good act as well. Be it going to the weekly ijtima, be it going on the kafla, be it traveling in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, be it if they wish to travel to the blessed sacred lands for the Umrah or even the blessed sacred Hajj as well. We should encourage them to do that. We should support them to do that. So when our children, they wish to make these journeys, we should support them. When our husbands say that, look, you know, I think this year we should go on Umrah. I think this year we should go on Hajj. You know, we should say, Alhamdulillah, beautiful idea. Rather than saying, no, I want to go to Pakistan. I want to go to Dubai. I want to go to this place. I want to go to that place. Rather than that, support what is good for you, what is beneficial for you. Yes, I'm not saying to you that it's haram to go to all these places. But what I'm saying to you is when your partner, when your son, when your children, when your relatives want to do something that is beneficial to the akhirat of them and ultimately beneficial to your akhirat as well, support them. And not only support them, but encourage them. Nowadays, we think to ourselves, you know what? It's because, they've got to get up early for the school. It's going to be hard. And many times, you know, the children, if they're at home, you know, they're watching TV or they're playing on the play consoles for that time that they could have been in the masjid. Views of the channel, we're hearing about the blessed life of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. And like I said earlier on, we heard about that event. And she was the first wife of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And according to one opinion, she had the honor of being the first person to embrace the faith in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her virtues and merits, viewers of our mother channel, are countless. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved her dearly to such an extent, viewers of our channel, that even after her passing, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always sit there and remember her often. Even though the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you could say, had effectively moved on, he had had other wives as well, but he still would sit there and he would remember her. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I mentioned early on, he would honor her friends so much so that whenever something was presented to him, he would offer it, send it to them. He would send it to the friends of his blessed wife. Allahu Akbar. The abundant remembrance and love became the cause of a positive envy of Ummat al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala. Thus she herself states that I did not have any positive envy of anybody else from any of the blessed wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as I did from Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. Even though I had never seen her, However, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would remember her frequently. And here we're talking about a positive envy that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would praise her so much. Praise her to such an extent that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha said that if only he would mention me like this after my passing too. Allahu Akbar. This is the love and affection that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for her. Now this is also because the love and affection that she had for him as well. Not only did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam frequently remember Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha after her passing, but he would shower her friends with gifts and generosity. Then when something was presented to him, he would say, take this to so-and-so, because she was the friend of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha. Take this to so-and-so's house, for this person used to show love to Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha. Allahu Akbar. On many occasions, viewers of the channel, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sacrifice a goat and he would cut it into pieces and then he would send it to the friends of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha states that I would sometimes say to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it would seem as if there is no woman in the world besides Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha, to which he would say that she was like this. She was like this, and I had offspring through her. Allahu Akbar. Hakim al-Ummat, viewers of the channel, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Ta'ala states that the following while explaining this particular hadith. He says the meaning of Sayyidina Aisha's statement is that when I would hear her abundant praise on the tongue of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of positive envy, I would say, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you praise her so much as though you have not received a wife besides her, or like there is no other woman similar to her in this world. Whilst explaining the meaning of the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to this, where she was like this, she was like this, he states, this is an indication to the many qualities of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. She would fast often. She would offer tahajjud. She served me greatly. She was my companion when I was alone. She would comfort me. She would aid me during my seclusions in the cave of Hira. And all of my children are from her. Allahu Akbar. This is the status. This is the love. This is the support. And this is a role model, viewers of Minshal, for all of those husbands out there, all of the wives out there, all of the brothers and sisters out there. This is an ideal role for you, of how you should live your life. The love and affection, the love and support that you should show for each other. It wasn't one way. It wasn't just the wife that was loving the husband. It wasn't just the husband that was loving the wife. It wasn't just the wife that was supporting the husband. It wasn't the husband that was supporting the wife. It was mutual. It was two-way. And that's how the ideal husband and wife is. So as Muslims, we should study their lives. Study how they live together. The help that they used to give to each other. The support that they used to give to each other. The fact that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would assist her in the chores of the home. Do we go home and help our wives in any chores whatsoever? Or have we made our wives into servants? Do we, the sisters I'm speaking to, do we now support and care for our husbands? Or are they just ATM machines that just produce the money and nothing more? And unfortunately in today's life we are seeing this. That the husband has become an ATM machine. And the wife has become, you know, a free takeaway. That basically you go home, you have the food, and that's it. She'll clean your clothes for you and you have food. And the husband has become someone that gives cash to the wife and that's the end of it. This is not what a relationship should be like. And if we study the lives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we study his life, we study the life of his wife, we study the life of the companions, we see the love and the compassion, the respect, the understanding, the support that they had for each other. We should learn from this, views of the channel. We should give that support to our spouses. We should give that love to our spouses. And in the same way that I mentioned early on, where if the brother wishes to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, the wife, the sister should support him. In the same way, I speak to the brothers now, that if our sisters wish to go to the weekly ishtima, we should support them. If they wish to go to the study circles, we should support them. If there are any courses that are taking place for the sisters specifically, we should support them. Because we all know, we are told that the first university is the lap of the mother. You are married now. But is your wife, does she have the skills and qualities, the knowledge to upbring, give the correct upbringing to your child? Dawat Islami is providing this for the sisters in many forms. through the courses, through the ishtamas, whatever it is they are providing, the study circles that they are providing. These are the opportunities. Don't stop them. Brothers, don't stop them from obtaining these opportunities to increase the knowledge of the deen so that they can become the ideal role model of the child. The child looks up to the mother. She is the first role model. She is the first teacher. And nowadays, if we look at our children, we look at the knowledge of Islam and we wonder why. Why does this child not know anything about his deen? It's because the parents don't know. And ultimately, it's because the mother doesn't know. So we should always encourage our sisters to acquire the knowledge of the deen, to support them and comfort them. You know, brothers, go buy them the books. Maktabat al-Madinah has many, many books. To just give you an example of one book, the Salah for Sisters is a book specifically of how the sisters need to read the Salah. Purchase that book, give it to your spouses, give it to your daughters, get them to read that book, study that book. There are many, many opportunities of acquiring the knowledge of the deen. You know, if we go back into history, we go back in the past, it was so hard. Even here in the UK, viewers of the channel, within the environment of Dawat Islami 15, 20 years ago, there was very little literature in the language of English. Alhamdulillah, the translation department of Dawat Islami has expanded so much that there are hundreds. I remember there was a time where we used to say, oh, there's one available, there's two available, there's three available, there's four available. Now I don't even know how many is available. So many booklets, so many books, so many weekly speeches, so many pamphlets. They're all available in the English language. So easy to acquire the knowledge of the deen. Here on my PC tablet here, I have more than 300-400 books downloaded, all of them in the language of English. I can't read Urdu. They're all in the English language. All available from www.dawatislami.net. The Fizan-e-Manama magazine, you can order that and get it sent to your house. It is available in the Urdu language and the English language. I encourage you to get both of them home. Allahu Akbar. And get them, give them to the family members, support them so that they can acquire the knowledge of the deen. These are the things that we need to make these changes in our life, viewers of the channel. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the hadith of the day. And I'm hoping that our guest will be available after the break. If not, we'll carry on. But inshallah, if our guest is available, then we'll hear some madani pearls from him. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
One reality that no one can escape from is the reality of death. Whether someone is a believer or not, he cannot deny death. It is to occur most certainly. A person will live for a certain duration and then he will die. Some people die young, some people die old. This is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He has destined for each and every person. Now remember, as Muslims, when someone passes away, when someone dies, our fellow believer, we honor that believer. We go to his funeral prayer. We make dua for him. But in the hadith, we are told certain other things to do on the day of the funeral as well, to gain maximum reward. Let us read a hadith that is found in both Bukhari and Muslim. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala is the narrator. He states, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من اتبع جنازة مسلم إيمانا وإحتسابا, whoever follows the janazah, the funeral procession of a believer, in a state of iman and in hope of reward, وكان معه حتى يصلي عليها, and he stays with the funeral procession until the funeral salah is offered, وَيَفْرُغَ مِنْ دَفْنِهَا, and until the people have finished from burying the deceased person, فَإِنَّهُ يَرْجِعُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ بِقِرَاطَيْنِ, that person returns with ajr, with reward equivalent to two qirat, and each qirat, كُلُّ qiratin مِثْلُ أُحُدٍ, and each qirat is equivalent to the mount of Uhud. Whoever's been to Medina al-Munawwara will know that this mount is not small. The mount of Uhud is massive. And a person who goes to offer janazah salah, he stays with the funeral procession until the janazah prayer is done, until the burial is done, he will return with reward equivalent to two qirat. And one qirat is equivalent to Mount Uhud. And he's returning with two qirat. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ صَلَّى عَلَيْهَا ثُمَّ رَجَعَ قَبْلَ أَن تُدْفَنَ فَإِنَّهُ يَرْجِعُ بِقِيرَاتٍ. But as for the person who only offers the salah but doesn't go with the funeral procession to the graveyard to bury the person, then he will return with one qirat reward, meaning reward equivalent to Mount Uhud. But the first person, he will gain reward equivalent to two qirat. Allah Ta'ala enable us to honor our fellow believers when they pass away and to fulfill what has been mentioned in this beautiful hadith to maximize our rewards.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, our early morning program. And today we're talking about the blessed life of Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, the first wife of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his support, the encouragement and the support that he gave, and the lessons that we need to learn from that. And also the love that they had for each other, to such an extent that even when she passed away, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would remember her frequently. He would send gifts to her family members, send gifts to those people who loved her. Whenever he sacrificed an animal, he would send meat to those people who loved her and support her. Even to the extent, viewers of Manshallah, the once the sister of Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyiduna Hala radiallahu ta'ala, sought permission to enter the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because her voice, you know, sisters, their voice resemble each other, don't they? As her voice resembled that of Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remembered Sayyiduna Khadija seeking permission and was taken aback. He was like in a bit of a state that her voice resembled him. And the love that he had, the affection that he had, just hearing the voice and remembered her, Allahu Akbar. And that shows the love, the people that love their husbands, love their wives, little things will trigger their memories. Little things will bring the memories back of their wives and the back of their husbands. And that is because the love that they had for each other. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we can learn to love our spouses in the same way that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha lived their lives. Allah. Viewers of the channel, we mentioned that obviously she was the first wife of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I want to relate to you now the events that took place and the reason behind it, and actually how the nikah took place. One of the reasons behind Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu anha marrying the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the journey to Syria. And I mentioned earlier that it was only a short time after that journey. Because when Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu anha heard the prophetic qualities of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her slave, and saw the angels giving him shade, all of these things inclined her towards marrying him. It is also narrated that the women of Quraysh would have a celebration in which they would gather by the Kaaba. Once on one such occasion, they would gather there when a man from Syria came and said to them, "O women of Quraysh, a prophet will soon emerge amongst you who will be known as Ahmad. Whomsoever from amongst you gain the honor of becoming his wife should do so." Hearing this, the women began to throw stones and pebbles at him, insulted him, and spoke to him harshly. But Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu anha, she remained silent, and she remembered his words. Afterwards, as a result of what Maysara told her of the signs that he observed and everything that she witnessed herself, she recalled the statement of that man and thought to herself that if he has spoken the truth, then that can only be this personality, i.e. the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after being impressed by the character and conduct of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Khadija sent her friend Nafisa to him in order to find out his view. After finding out the view of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she returned to Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu anha and said, "Mubarak, congratulations to you. Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam has accepted your proposal." Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu anha was delighted and at this, and then she sent someone to her uncle Amir bin Asad to tell him to be present at the nikah. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also went to the home of Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu anha with some of his uncles and other leaders, and they performed the nikah. The blessed nikah took place 2 months and 25 days after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to Syria. And by coming into the marriage of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu anha gained the honor of being Ummul Mu'mineen, i.e. the mother of the believers. And she will have that title until the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. But what was that You know, what was the wedding like? Was it like the weddings that we had? Allahu Akbar. Let's narrate this. After the nikah, Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu anha said to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell your uncle to slaughter a camel and feed the people. Thus, after feeding the people, the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and spoke with Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu anha, and Allah azza wa jal granted coolness to his eyes through this. So a camel was slaughtered and it was distributed to the people. Allahu Akbar, the people were fed. What a simple wedding that was. And if we look at the weddings of our pious predecessors, are they similar in any way to the weddings that we have? In which way can we relate to them that they are like the wedding ceremonies that we take place now? Do we just sacrifice an animal and feed the people? Or do we have huge celebrations? And now things, if we're honest with ourselves, so many things are happening within the wedding celebrations that are no longer halal. You're trying to make this relationship between this man and woman halal by performing the Islamic ceremony of nikah. But everything around it, in a lot of the cases, is haram. I'm not saying spending money is haram, but some of the things that are happening, the music that is happening, the dancing that is happening, you go to a wedding ceremony and for 5 minutes, the Imam Saab will give a 5 minute speech, and if that goes on for 6 minutes, people complain. He will perform the nikah, and if that takes too long, people will complain. And then the Imam Saab is ushered to a side room, or is ushered out to the building, in fact. They get rid of him. And then the music and the dance starts. And the speakers are switched on. And nobody complains about how loud it is. Nobody complains about anything, because this is what they've come here for. They didn't come here to listen to the nikah. They didn't come here to listen to the Imam Saab giving his 5 minute speech, that 5 minutes time that he was allowed to speak. How sad it is that this is what's become of us. I remember that I was fortunate that I was invited to someone's house to perform the nikah ceremony. And when we got there, we went inside the house, and the house was actually empty at that time, so we sat in the room. But outside, we could hear the fireworks, we could hear the music, we could hear the bagpipes, we could hear all these things. And so when they came in, and the groom was brought, and they started to fill in the paperwork, I said to them, look, that you've called me here to perform this nikah ceremony, but everything that's happening outside, are you honest with yourself? Do you think it's right? And you know, when it was discussed amongst the people, they didn't admit it, but what it actually has become nowadays is it's become a method of show. That I have to do this to show people, I have to show my wealth. I have to hire these cars. I have to do this. You know, I have to have all these fireworks going on. I have to have these bagpipes. I have to have the horses and the carriages, and I have to have all these things. And nowadays it's got to the extent where people are competing with each other. That what does the groom arrive on? The groom used to arrive on a horse. Now it's a horse and a carriage. Now it's a fast sports car. Now it's a tank. Yeah. Now it's a helicopter that the groom arrives on this, just to one-upmanship on the next person. All of this wealth, you're spending all this wealth. Why? Why are you spending it? And I remember listening to a speech the other day by a speaker, and he was saying that if a person has an expensive car, an executive car, a well-known executive car, why does he have it? Does he have it because how it makes him feel that this car is comfortable, this car, it will make his journey easily, and this car is reliable? Or does he have that car because of what he thinks people will now think of him? What the perception that people will have of him, that he is driving such a car. In the same way that we are at these weddings, when we turn up in these sports cars, we turn up in the tanks, we turn up in the helicopters, are we doing it because of our comfort? I don't think it's very comfortable traveling in a tank. Yeah? I don't think it's very comfort traveling in a helicopter, but we do it so that people look at, wow, look at that. I've never seen that before. And people are there making videos of you in a helicopter and a tank, and they're putting it on social media so that everybody can see it. Wow. This ostentation, this showing off, this wasting of wealth. Allahu Akbar, if only that wealth was spent in the way of Allah, as well as the blessings that new couple would get by spending that wealth in the way. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now, inshallah. So we're going to go to a small package. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Shukriya aapka sultan madine wale mujh saasi bhi hai mehman madine wale mujh kami احسان مدینے والے
میں مدینے میں ہوں 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 میں مدینے میں ہوں
اے یہ فضل خدا میں مدینے میں ہوں ہے یہ فضل خدا میں مدینے میں ہوں ہے اسی کی عطا میں مدینے میں ہوں ہے اسی کی عطا میں مدینے میں ہوں یا رسول خدا میں مدینے میں ہوں تم نے بلوا لیا میں مدینے میں ہوں یا رسول خدا میں مدینے میں ہوں تم نے بلوا لیا میں مدینے میں ہوں جانتے ہو میں کیوں آیا طیبہ میں ہوں جانتے ہو میں کیوں آیا طیبہ میں ہوں ہے یہاں مصطفیٰ میں مدینے میں ہوں ہے یہاں مصطفیٰ میں مدینے میں ہوں میں مدینہ اپنے مہمان کو غم مدینے کا دو اپنے مہمان کو غم مدینے کا دو سرور انبیاء میں مدینے میں ہوں سرور انبیاء میں مدینے میں ہوں میں مدینہ دیدار کا جلوائے یار کا ان کے دیدار کا مولا شربت پیلا میں مدینے میں ہوں مولا شربت پیلا میں مدینے میں ہوں میں مدینہ میرا جگہ میں یہاں گیا قدموں میں دو اپنے عطار کو موت قدموں میں دو اپنے عطار کو ہو کرم سرورا میں مدینے میں ہوں ہو کرم سرورا میں مدینے میں ہوں
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, the early morning program. If you remember just before the break, I was saying that they're talking in my ear and I couldn't hear what was going on. Alhamdulillah, we are very, very fortunate that we have a special guest with us all the way from Pretoria in South Africa. Amiruddin Bhai is online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mashallah. How are you, Azur?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, with your du'as.
Acha, Amiruddin Bhai, we are talking today about the blessed life of the first wife of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, Sayyiduna Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala. And we mentioned so far the events that took place at the revelation, that how supportive she was at that time, and the love that these two people had for each other, the love that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for her, and the love that Sayyiduna Khadija had for him as well. And again, what a great role model they are, the relationship that they had for each other. And if there's anything else that you wish to add with regards to the life of Sayyiduna Khadija radiallahu anha, then I'm sure there are viewers would love to hear it.
Okay, it mentioned that she was born to a father who was a very successful merchant in the Quraysh tribe in Mecca. So when he passed away, she inherited her father's skills. And at that time, you must know that it was male-dominated and it was dangerous. So after her father passed away, she took over the business. And obviously, the primary trade was commerce, traveling from Mecca to Syria and Yemen. And she, because of her character, she was like mentioned, because everyone knew that she was very reputed and she always hired people who were trustworthy. And her character was like, it's mentioned she had the title of Al-Tahira, the pure one, because of her reputation. So she had a very pure character. Right. And it's mentioned also that there many people sought to hand in marriage. And she was married twice before, but alhamdulillah, but she was not interested. But when she saw the character of beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she sent the proposal because she had recognized, many scholars say that she was a scholar of Torah. And she had recognized earlier on the character of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although she was 15 years older than beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was 40 years old when she married beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was 25. And it mentioned she was the most ideal wife. And it mentioned for 25 years, beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not take any other wife, because it was a very common practice at that area to have more than one wife. But at the time she was alive, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam never took another wife. Shows how much he loved her. And even it's mentioned that once Almighty Allah sent salam to her via Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam.
Allah.
And when she responded, she did not say as-salam to become, look at the knowledge. She responded that salam is from Allah. And she sent salam to Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, and also included beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi salam. That shows how much knowledge she had. Like if someone sends salam, you normally say wa alaikum assalam. But she did not say that, because salam comes from Almighty Allah. So her response was also bearing that. And she bore beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam 6 children, and amongst them is Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha. Alhamdulillah. And she is regarded as the mother of Islam, because she was the first person in the earth to accept beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final prophet of Allah. Because as you mentioned, she in the deep depth of her heart, she knew that this is the one that she, that the person that she read about in the Torah. He will be the final prophet of Almighty Allah. It's mentioned she's one of the most remarkable women. And it's mentioned that Hazrat Bibi Khadija radiallahu anha, obviously, she was the greatest supporter of Beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And normally it's mentioned that from anyone, okay, but it's like when you come home, it's like she's an inspiration to other women, how you must be. It's mentioned that there was never a time where she was even slightly annoyed or dismayed. She loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that even Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha mentioned that she was one of the most remarkable female in the life of beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how fortunate we have for us that we have, like, as Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Bibi Khadija radiallahu anha, who has an inspiration for women throughout, that she stood firm. And alhamdulillah, and it mentioned, if you think about it, that all the sayyids, she is the granny of all of them, because Allah, she is the mother of Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha. So she is the grandmother of all the sayyids existing today. Allah. Something many people may not think of. Alhamdulillah, look at that honor. All the sayyids that are existing, their grandmother is Hazrat Bibi Khadija radiallahu anha. And alhamdulillah, make dua, Almighty Allah give us all tawfiq to understand her greatness and of our Islamic sisters, but read her life and see how dedicated she was to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great support she was to him, both financially. In fact, she spent all her money for the pleasure of Allah and beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she stood with him strong, alhamdulillah. And she has the honor of being the first person to accept beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Prophet of Allah. The first adult male was Hadith Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, as we know. And the first young person was Hadith Ali radiallahu anhu. And the first person ever was she, alhamdulillah. As we know that we are so fortunate that if you look at in our deen, it is dotted by so many beautiful characters. And as we said, she is an source of inspiration for all our sisters and all of us to make dua, Almighty Allah give us tawfiq. One is to learn from the glorious past of Islam, and she must become inspiration to our Islamic sisters as well.
Jazakallah, Miruddin Bhai. Inshallah, I pray that day comes where I do not just see a picture of you on the screen, I meet you physically, inshallah. Remember me in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, mashaAllah. Views of Madhishan. That was Miruddin Bhai all the way from Pretoria in South Africa. And South Africa, we have a very beautiful connection with the UK, that we have this Madani competition with regards to the Madani works that are taking place in certain areas. UK is ahead, certain areas South Africa is ahead. What a beautiful competition in competing with how much work of the deen that we can do. I humbly request you that please remember your Dawah Islami with your funding, your zakat, your fitrah. And also I would request you that the blessings of Madani channel are in front of you. This channel that you're seeing now, it's in English, it's in Bangla, it's in Urdu as well. It's been broadcast all around the world and making a change in the hearts of so many Muslims. Become part of this noble cause and donate to this noble cause. Here in the UK, you can set up standing orders, direct debits, where as little as a pound a month, or even less than that if you wish. Some people are doing a pound a month, some people are doing £100 a month. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you, spend in the way of Allah and set up a standing order to continuously take that money out of your account. So if you forget sometimes, it still goes out of your account and you're continuously getting the blessing. You have been watching Rise and Shine, and today we've been talking about the blessed life of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha. I hope that we've learned something from her life, but ultimately we as Muslims need to know more about our role models, more about our pious predecessors, more about the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more about the Ummat al-Mu'mineen, and ultimately more about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine. Until the next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise.